Last weekend at our Super Bowl of preaching, we gave away two tickets to the actual Super Bowl. Well, the 2018 Super Bowl in Minneapolis. And out of 10,000 people who signed up to win, the winner is a guy named Elliot, who is out of Oakley, and he is a rabid sports fan. And actually, he and his wife just adopted a baby as well. Now, Elliot is away on a business trip, where we're going to roll up to his house, kind of Publisher's Clearinghouse style. But what we've done is roped his wife in on this, and she's helped us arrange with his boss a conference call where he thinks he's going to be speaking to a new client, but he's in for quite a treat. So let's go give these tickets away.
Hey, I just wanted to say hi. I haven't seen you all week. So I set this all up just so I could spend a minute with you.
Actually, Elliot, look at that face, buddy. Surprise. These are Super Bowl tickets out of the 10,000 people who signed up for a chance to go to Minnesota for Super Bowl 2018. You and Nikita won the tickets, and I get to be the person to tell you congratulations.
Are you kidding? That's awesome. Dude, that's incredibly cool. Thank you, guys. I really don't know what to say. That's awesome.
Now that was a lot of fun. Let's give it up for Elliot for winning those tickets. And if you know Elliot, now is a really good time to be a great friend to him. I'm just giving you that tip. It was a lot of fun to do that. Hey, if we've not met, I'm Chuck Mingo, and we've been talking about something for weeks now that starts today. The I Am journey starts today. Who's excited? Who's excited? I am so excited. I really feel like the next 6 weeks can change your life, because we're going to be discovering who we were made to be. We're going to be wrestling with that question, who we are truly. There's a lot of labels that we can use to define ourselves, but what does God, who created us, say about who we are? And maybe some of us believe in a God who created us. Maybe some of us are on a journey of wrestling with that. Either way, I think the next 6 weeks will be defining for you if you lean in. That looks like coming to the weekends. That looks like being a part of a group. That looks like downloading an app and doing some individual self-discovery work. Because all of us have probably asked that question, who am I? Who am I? Some of us have been asking that question for decades. Others of us, maybe we've never dug deep into that question. But like everybody's story, yours has a bigger context. You might think about your life and say, my story starts with my family. Or maybe you think your story starts with your great-great-grandparents, however they came to this country. But your story is bigger than that. Like every epic story, yours begins with three words: in the beginning.
In the beginning. Three words unveiling the most epic of stories. Three words holding the most dramatic intent. Three fearless words holding the deepest expression of love. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. By his very voice, everything we know came to exist. Through the dark, cut light to reveal each snow-capped mountain, every sun-parched desert, rivers cutting through rock, waves crashing upon shores, each set into motion by the master designer. From setting sun to waning moon, from Milky Way to Andromeda, red giants and white dwarfs, black holes and galaxies upon galaxies, a seemingly unending maze of expanse spoke of the unending facets of God's character. His mysteries folded into one another like the rings of the giant sequoia trees, like soldiers standing at the ready before their commanders. But after surveying his handiwork, his earthly creation, God saw nothing fit to bear his own image. He longed for something to carry his breath, his heart, his living fingerprint upon this newborn earth. And from the depths of his being and from the very dust of the earth, God made you, the pinnacle of his creation. You are his David. You are his Mona Lisa, sculpted from the most precious materials, the precious lifeblood no man can create. You are a work of art, not a cosmic mistake, not a chance encounter of egg and sperm, but an eternity of architecture set into motion by God's breath. He desires to see you not merely survive, but thrive, to burst forth with every molecule of your being, acting on behalf of his, Your life is for living and feeling, not quieting and numbing yourself until you die. Every label, every category, every bond and shackle this world has thrown on you tells you that you are not enough, that you're not worth rescuing, that nothing will ever change and that there is no hope. But nothing could be further from the truth. The truth is this, that you were born for greatness. You were born to sing a melody the world has never heard. You were born to take the helm of the ship and steer it to glory. Your voice matters, and if that voice is muted, the world misses out on your unique brand of beauty. Can you break free from the weight of this life? Will you hear the voice of the one who made you? And what will happen when you do? Reach out your hand and lean into the wind and silence the voices around you and hear who you were created to be. You were designed for a purpose. You were made for greatness by a God who knows and loves you. Guys, that's great news, right? You're not an accident. That we were designed for something. Hey, regardless of where you are, whether you believe that or not, or maybe you're just like, gosh, that was a little intense. Hey, I'm glad you're here. You're in the right place for this exploration. You're in the right place for this journey. We're going to kick our time off by singing songs that are rooted in this truth, that we were designed by someone who loves us. So why don't you guys stand up? We're going to sing together, all right?
Rushing in to meet me here. Your love.
So, you know, we talk about our identities, and one of the big parts of my identity is I'm a father, and I've got three kids who I really like. They're really great, and which I know is not the case. Sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, but I really like my kids. And when I think about my role as a father, you know, regardless of what you think, our relationship with our dads really implicate how we connect with God. And I have a really great dad, but I recognize that my fathering is broken a lot of times. And so that's really impacting how my kids will interact with God. And so as I sing songs, like we're going to sing now, we're going to sing You're a Good, Good Father, I recognize that, gosh, how much my fathering falls short of the perfect fathering that we find in God. And so regardless of how I'm doing, I look and I say, God, would you show me who you are so I can represent you well to my own kids and to every person that I interact with, you know? And so whether it's my patience or it's my intolerance for something, I just say, God, I need you to come show me what it means to be a good father. So I sing this like me wanting to imitate him, me wanting to imitate his goodness, and say, let's sing this together as a declaration of how we see, or maybe how we want to see him. I realize it could be a stretch for a lot of us here to say, God, you're a father, but he is. And we're going to sing that together. Here we go.
Perfect in all of
hardly speak in peace. So unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. God, I thank you that you are a good father, that you pursue us relentlessly. And I ask that you would see our steps into this place tonight as steps or prayers of wanting to encounter you for who you really are. Thanks, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, thanks so much for worshiping with us. It's so great to be here with you guys and online tonight. So good. Do me a quick favor. Why don't you turn around and say hi to somebody that you don't already know and then grab a seat, all right? It's enough chit-chat, everybody. Sit down. Shh. Shut it. Hey, we're going to continue our time of worship by having an opportunity to be generous. And so those of us who call Crossroads home, we give joyfully because we believe that God is our provider. And so it's a way that that we show, like, hey, we trust that you're going to keep providing for us because you're a good father. So there are going to be some bags that come by, and you can drop cash or checks in there. If you're like my family, we give at crossroads.net/give, and we've just made it a part of our regular rhythms. And it is. It's a way our whole family says, we trust you, God, to bring change here in our city and all around our country and around the world. And that you can also give using the Crossroads app. If you don't have that yet, man, do that right now. Download the app. It's really easy to give that way. And while those bags are rolling by, got a really great story of someone in our community who has experienced some really amazing life change. Check this out.
It was about me, materials, and money. Didn't care about nobody but myself. I grew up without a father, so I didn't really have a male figure to look up to. I truly believed in myself that I was gonna be able to go to college from basketball, that I even believed that I was gonna go pros with basketball. I end up getting cut my junior year. On top of my junior year, I end up flunking out of my high school. I end up getting in some trouble and going to prison. From going to prison, I end up going from like 2006 to 2007. In prison, I had all these things in my mind that I wanted to change, all the things I wanted to do right, all the things I wanted to do good. By the time I ended up getting out, what I did was got worse. I labeled myself as an inmate, a womanizer. I was selling drugs, I was using drugs, and I know I caused a lot of hurt and a lot of pain to a lot of people out there, like a ton of people. I drank every day, and when I drank, I would drink so much that I would sit into the shower for 8 hours and puke. And the minute I was able to eat something, a piece of bread, I would eat it and I would feel better, and I would be right back at the bar doing the same thing. And I just remember coming home. I vaguely remember it was 4 a.m. in the morning, and what I was doing is puking all over the counter at my mom's house. At that time, I just remember laying there, and I remember calling out and saying, you know, asking, not knowing who God really truly was, about just changing my life. If he could just allow me to have a second chance, that I would change. It was no other feeling than just feeling like you was just done. I was at rock bottom, and I knew there was nothing I could do about it. I just remember waking up on September 19th when I made my way up to the shower, and I just vaguely remember staring into the mirror, and all I saw was a black face. I couldn't see myself. And I stared in there for like 5 minutes, and I started to cry. And what started to play in my head was Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror. I knew God was speaking through me through that song. At the same time, he was telling me that hurting people hurt people. I might not have had a biological father, but I had a heavenly father that was slowly talking to me. And by me looking at this person in the mirror, it started to show who I truly was. The thing that was kind of amazing to me at the time, too, is because I wasn't brought up in believing or knowing even who Jesus was. I just didn't know. So what I did know is that I was going to go find out for myself. And when I found out for myself, shortly and slowly, who Jesus was, he started to show me who I truly was. I just knew God was telling me that you are somebody who is loving, somebody who cares about other people. That shortly led to me being baptized. I began to start doing personal training. God's continued to continually bless me with multiple opportunities that allow me to share my story with people. I've taught to colleges. I even spoke at a detention center. And what kind of shocks me is all the things that God keeps allowing me to do by using my past. My true identity is a loving person. Caring for people, encouraging people, building people up to allow them to let them know that you can get through the struggle too. Just from all that things that I've been through, I just know I'm free from all my mistakes because I know who God created me to be. I am unashamed.
Isn't that good? Gosh. That's a man who knows who he is and is learning even more and more about himself in the process, becoming more and more powerful in this life. And that's what I want for you, not just today, but I want this for you, this journey. I'm going to be talking about that in a moment. Let's pray before I get any further, okay? God, you are very generous to afford us another day of life and another day to be able to learn, another day to be able to experience things. And I'm praying that you give us an experience with you today that's fresh, that's insightful, that helps us see something about ourselves we haven't seen, that gives a picture of a future that you may have for us. And God, we want to see you more fully as who you are, and help my words to do that, God, to bring those things about. Most importantly, may my words honor you. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. I don't know if you ever wondered why I do what I do when I pray every once in a while. You might notice that I enter prayer, I'll often say, according to the character of Jesus or according to the identity of Jesus. And probably some of us are going, well, that's interesting. That's an interesting postlude. I've never really heard that before. For sure, if you heard somebody praying in a public setting, specifically a pastor, you would hear them say something like, in the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. And so many of us have picked that up and just kind of say that by rote, in the name of Jesus, I pray, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Well, what does that mean? Some of us, we think that means that if I say that, that's sort of the magical thing that I'll get what I want by prayer. So I'll say, in the name of Jesus, amen.
And this is seemingly traced to something that Jesus says. He says, whenever you pray in my name, according to my name, it will be done. What he's saying there is not tack on the end of your prayer in the name of Jesus, amen. What he's saying is, to know someone's name is to know their identity. This is the way it is in the ancient world, and even today in many parts of the world. To know someone's name is to know their identity, to know their character. So he's saying, when you pray, if you pray the way you know I would pray, if you pray for the things that you know that I would pray for because you know my character and you know my identity, bam, get ready. Your prayers are about ready to get potent. Your prayers are about ready to have more yeses said than not. He's talking about the identity of him. And this is a series we're in about your identity. Do you know who you really are? Now, I know there's two big camps in here today when I say that. One is people say, well, yeah, I know I am. I am confident. I know who I am. And you may be right. You actually may know who you are, but I believe you don't know everything of who you are. I think I'm pretty self-aware. I think I'm pretty mature in a variety of ways. I've had some massive, massive things have been revealed about myself this last year that are making a huge impact on my trajectory. Every year, as a church, we say, what is the one thing that our church needs to dig into, or anybody around any Crossroads site or anywhere in America who could get to Crossroads anywhere, what was the one thing that would make life better, that would enable people to see and sense God better? And this year, that journey, it's a journey because it takes 6 weeks to do small groups and do personal work and come the weekend for inspiring stuff. This year, it's on identity. I am blank. And some of us go, man, I feel like I know who I am. And maybe you do, but the onion needs to be peeled back more. As soon as you stop the process of self-discovery, you've stopped the process of seeking God. As soon as you stop the process of seeking God, you stop the process of getting more power in your life. Others of us, we think we know ourselves, and I'm sorry to tell you, you really don't. You have no freaking clue who you are. I'm really sorry, but you just don't. This is why your occupational life is so frustrating. You don't know how God has created you, and so you keep getting in the wrong job in the wrong company, or you keep saying and doing the wrong things in the right job or the right company because you don't know yourself. This is why some of us, we feel like we can't get ahead financially because we're not in the right place. This is why some of us, our relationships regularly break. So why some of us, we have a new set of friends every 5 years. We keep cycling through because we don't know ourselves well enough to know that we fry people. This is why some of us have a hard time in marriage. This is why some of us have a hard time even thinking about we want any marriage, because we really don't know ourselves. And no matter where you are in that bandwidth, man, I'm telling you, I'm so excited for you because your life is about to change. I believe that. If you dig in on this process, your life is about to change. You're going to see exactly how valuable and how potent you can be if you align yourself with God and see your future the way He sees it. In the book of Genesis, the very beginning of the Bible, it says this: the Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. It's not good for the man to be alone. In this journey, we're going to be able to be doing stuff like this in larger environments. You're going to have a customized app, either, you know, Android or iPhone compatible. You can get that on the Apple Store or Google Play, and you're going to be doing your personal work. And then groups. It says there, it's not good for the man to be alone. God creates men and goes, not good for you to be alone. We need to bring a woman around. Not good for a woman to be alone. Not good for anybody to be alone, because when we're around people, we have more power. When we're around people, we see things that we can't see in ourselves. Like, you know, I need people because I can't see the back of my head. I need someone. Can you see the back? Tell me, do these jeans make my butt look big? I can't see everything. We need people to see things for us and help us to discern. There's been things that we've been told that are just utterly wrong and ridiculous. How many of us were told when you were a kid, you could be anything you want to be? How many of us were told? You could be anything you want to be. Sorry, you can't be anything you want to be. You can't be Tom Brady. I'm really, really sorry. Oh, I really wish you could. You can't be tough. Sorry. You can't be president of the United States if you just work harder. You can't, there's some people you just can't. If you're 5'1", I'm sorry, you can't be in the NBA at 5'1". Sorry, you can't. But there is this thing in our culture. It's like, hey, think big, whatever you want. You can work at it. And I'm telling you, no, that leads to a very frustrating and unfruitful life. It leads to something where you're out of step with your identity, out of step with who you really are. And in our culture, we actually are obsessed with who we are. We love taking Facebook quizzes that tell us things about ourselves. We love taking Myers-Briggs personality tests. We love all stuff. And yet at the same time, we don't want anyone to tell us what they think we are. We don't want anyone else speaking into our life. And we see this all over in our media. It's like, don't label me. Don't put a label on me. We're okay, like, identifying myself with a specific animal or with some letters if I do it. But you can't tell me anything about myself because you are irrelevant. You have no power over me. And I want us to consider this is part of why we've really gone askew. We need each other. We need each other. And here's what you need. You need God, too, because God tells you who you are. I don't mean just general spiritual stuff like God tells you you're a nice, loving person. No, I mean specific things that God tells you. He says, I know who you are. And I want to tell you, and the more you know who you are, the more opportunities and potential open up in life. As I said, every year, this is the most important thing we do. And I know some of you are, you know, maybe, oh, I don't know. But it is. If you do this right, your life will change. Mine has over the last year. It's been a huge difference in my life that's happened. A number of different things have happened. I'll show you one that's kind of cool, kind of big. Last year, it was a brave journey. Let's do something that is brave. And I declared to everybody the brave thing I was going to do is I was going to try to find my birth parents. I am adopted. I'm adopted at birth. Adopted by Dick and Eileen Tome. They are my parents, period. They're the only parents that I've ever known. They're the only parents I ever will have. But I'm always wanting to discover new things and learn more things about myself. And I thought, it'd be really good if I could find out who gave me birth, you know, who helped in that process. That would be a guy. He generally provides something in the process. I'm trying to figure out, and maybe I could find out more about myself. Are there tendencies in my DNA for, you know, sicknesses? Or are there mannerisms? Is there, I just fascinated. I've been putting off for a while, and I finally said, no, this is the year I'm going to do it. I'm going to go after it because I'm not getting younger, and neither are they. And over Christmas, I had my first conversation with a woman who brought me into this world. It was a pretty cool conversation. I talked with her, and it was really, really powerful. Found out she's about 70 years old. She was in the Air Force, 18 years old, when she got pregnant and gave me up for adoption. And I found out that she's a very, very strong follower of Christ, and she's been praying for me for 51 years. 51 years. Interesting, my wife, Libby, has always said, man, there's something profound that God is doing in your life. Someone's got to be praying for you all this time, not just your parents, but there's probably something there with your birth mom. And what do you know? That's true. She's heavily involved in the church. She works there, or she serves there. It's a church that has different sites. Really, a huge, huge, amazing first conversation. Now, we got together actually live for the first time a couple weeks ago, and she has a lot of things that I think she... So, well, at least one thing she has that is similar to myself. Maybe she's where I get my directness from. Within 5 minutes of sitting down, she goes, Brian, why are the bags under your eyes so big? I'm like, oh, I actually didn't know that they were. Thanks for letting me in on that. Okay. Maybe there's some directness there. One of the things that she said is, you are, referring to her maiden name, you are a Smith. You are a Smith, even though her maiden name is McIntosh. You are a Smith. And, you know, because she was talking about how my nose is shaped and some other stuff, and she started showing about other family members, oh, yeah, you are definitely a Smith. And it's kind of like, I'm not agreeing or necessarily liking that. And the reason is because I know who I am. I'm not a Smith. I'm a Tome. I was adopted into the Tome family, and that is my identity. And this is such a profound spiritual thing because God tells us that he adopts us into his family. Jesus is very clear that we are adopted into God's family. Not everyone's in God's family, according to the Bible. According to Jesus, everybody is loved by God, cared for by God, but not everyone is in the family of God. In the book of John chapter 1, it says this, but to all who did receive him, that's Jesus, who all received Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. When I receive Jesus, I get the right to be adopted and to become a child of God. Maybe if you haven't felt God, like, I don't know if God, it might be because you haven't been adopted yet. And that might happen. That might happen for you over the next 6 weeks. But I realized, no, there was a culture in the Tome family that has created my identity. I have way, way more in common with anyone there than I do over on the birth side. And I don't want to go into all those things, but I just came to really appreciate the identity that was given to me and the culture and the family and how that brought me up into something powerful, more family. We're going to talk in a moment. It's kind of wild in our culture where we don't understand identity. Parents are even afraid to tell kids who they are. You are uniquely positioned as a parent to tell your kids things about themselves that they cannot know for themselves and they can't even understand about themselves. We'll get in that moment. In the book of Genesis, let's go back there all the way back, the very beginning of the Bible. We find out what it means for you and I to have an identity and what it even means for you and I to have an image of God himself. Here's what it says. Then God said, let us make man in our image. Let us, that's right, let us make man in our image. God is operating in a group. Hey, guess what? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Guess what? If God needs a group, you need a group. Let's make man in our image, in our likeness, so they may rule over the fish in the sea and the groups in the sky, over the livestock and over all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. And so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Now, God tells human beings, Adam and Eve here, he tells them something that he doesn't tell anybody else. He doesn't tell chipmunks, he doesn't tell fish, he doesn't tell kittens. And these things we're going to see all throughout our journey. One is this, image gives validity. Image gives validity. Validity. They are created in the image of God. It says, and the image of God, he created them, male and female, God created them. It's pretty crazy that you and I have something powerfully in common with God. It validates you that God cares about you and created you and is doing something in you right now. He validates you. There's a lot of things about science that I love. I mean, anything that's true in science, I obviously love, 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 love. But sometimes some can go so extreme as to eliminate the idea of the divine or God from science, which I think is mentally unwise. And so maybe God did create the world with the Big Bang. Maybe God chose to take a long, long time and evolve various things. Maybe he did choose to do things that way. But that's entirely different than saying, out of total randomness, there was a huge bang, and out of total randomness, there was an amalgamation of proteins and cells that did something, and here we have, and here's you. Here's you. So there was goo, and then there was you. Don't you feel important? Goo, and of course you have. Is there any reason why we have self-esteem issues? Is there any reason we have self-image issues? Is there any reason why we doubt, like, whether or not we matter? Because under that system, which is increasingly popular, you don't matter. You are a nothingness. You are a speck of lint. That's as significant as you are. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what happens. There is nobody who loves you eternally. There's nobody who knows anything about you that's transcendent. There's nobody who's designed you for anything. Your image, your identity is, who cares? Whatever you want it to be, you figure it out. You are a nothing. You are a zero. You are a random accident. There's nothing more important in you than there is a flea. Nothing. When you understand, though, that God has created you, that God is doing something in you, it validates you. You walk with more confidence. You go into sticky situations. Understand there's an X factor of God. You realize that even when things are going against you and people don't like you, that God likes you. He validates you. And this changes everything. And we have to understand that this way to view ourselves, of unpacking ourselves, of seeing ourselves, is very, very foreign to our culture. The Barna Group is a great research outfit. They're on par with Gallup and those guys, and they mainly kind of focus on religious things and things in that area. And they did an interesting study recently of asking people who have no religious affiliation and people who profess to be practicing Christians how they view certain things. Check this out. The best way to find yourself is by looking within yourself. You can see those percentages. To be fulfilled in life, you should pursue the things you desire most. You can see those percentages. Everything over 70% here. The highest goal of life is to enjoy it as much as possible. So this is the vast, vast, vast majority of Americans. And as you can see, there's some difference between if you are a practicing, quote unquote, practicing Christian or all U.S. adults. There's some differences, but the vast, vast majority of all practicing Christians, all adults, feel this way. Now, when I look at this, it makes me sad. It makes me really sad. Because what this says is no one here knows God. No one here knows the will of God for their life, or at least they're not practicing it. The best way to find yourself is not by looking within, because that's a very limited view. The best way to find yourself is for God to tell you who you are, to understand something outside of what you can. The best way to have a fulfilling life is not to be happy. The best way to have a fulfilling life is not to do what you desire the most, is to be happy and do what God desires the most. Because when you get on God's plan and you do what He desires most, your life works. When you do what you desire most, it doesn't work. And it doesn't work for people around you. And it's very unsatisfying. It's like drinking Coke. Feels good right now, but bad conditions later on. Or the highest goal of life is to enjoy it as much as possible. Yes, if you are cosmic goo, if you are a flea, and when you're over, that's fine. Yeah, that's it, that's right. But no, if there is a God, and this is just a speck of time, and there's a God that's building something long before us and long after us, no. The best thing of life is to get ready for real life. The best thing for life is to align ourselves with Him, and that is enjoyable, by the way. That's very enjoyable. But the point of life is not to enjoy it as much as possible. The point of life is to honor God. The point of life is to know who's actually put me here. God said, "Let us make mankind in our image." It's really, really fascinating that this is in the Bible. This is like nowhere in any other spiritual religious literature, anywhere, that if you want to know what God looks like, you look at people. In all ancient religions, spiritualities, many today, there is a God that's out there, and they represent Him in a carven image. And they realize this idol or this totem pole or this thing, this isn't really my God, but it represents, it's the image of my God that is out there. And this is the best I have, so I come here. God says in one of the Ten Commandments, the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy, one of God's top 10 lists, He says, "You shall have no other gods before me." And He says, "You shall make for yourself no graven images." He said, "I don't want you to make it. Don't make any image of what you think I look like." Even if you could see God, He says, "Don't make a graven image." Why is that? Because there already is an image made. What is it? It's you. This is like religiously scandalous. It is you. This is why, if you only spend time with yourself, you don't get enough of God, because when you're around other people, you get more of God. If you're going to just over the next 6 weeks be by yourself, okay? But if you're going to get in a group, you have 8 times the likelihood of seeing God. 8x. I love nature. God loves nature. God has created nature. But if you really want to see God, don't go to nature. Go to the city. Because in the city, you see more people. And where you see people, different colors, different shapes, different things, you get a better rounded perspective of who God. You are the image. This is awesome. This is crazy. I don't know all that's entailed, but I know this is why you do things that your dog doesn't do, why you do things that a shark will never do. You and I create. We have dreams. My dog, I think he has nightmare dreams because he kind of snorts in his sleep. I don't know if he's having nightmares about dog catchers or what it is, but Winston's never had a dream that will make his life any better. No other being other than human beings can ever dream something that will make their life better. You and no fish will ever have a dream and figure out how to walk on land. You and I are made to walk on land, and we figured out and innovated how to swim, how to go under the sea, and we innovated how to actually fly and go to the moon. Nobody else will ever, no other created thing. Only God's capacities inside of human beings allow that to happen. We have a thirst for justice, for social justice. We have a thirst to see the bad guy punished. We have a thirst to see what is right encouraged and flourished. And we see that nowhere else in creation. You can see lions come over and eat hyenas, or even lions come over and eat the young, and there's no sense of justice in the jungle. It's the law of the jungle. There's no like, okay, how do we do? Human beings figure out a justice system. We figure out courts. We figure this out. We actually hire people to be policemen or to be something because we want justice. And when something is going right, it really, really bothers us because it bothers God. You are the very image of God. You can achieve great things that nothing else can do if you understand your identity inside of that image. Image bestows ability. Image validates you. Isn't that cool right now? I mean, think about that. If someone wants to see what God is, you're a picture of God. That's what the Bible very clearly creates. It says, you are created in the image of God. You're an image bearer of God. Wow. Come on. Why don't we thank God for trusting us that way? That is pretty crazy. Wow, I don't understand it all. There's just signs and clues to us that are hardwired in us. Second thing, image bestows ability. Ability. The Bible is really clear that God has put men and women, human beings, on the earth to do things that nothing else can do. He's given you unique abilities. And the sooner you find out what these abilities are, the sooner your life will start to take off. The sooner you refine these abilities, that's sort of the process I've been in, refine these abilities, the deeper your life will go. To understand the abilities God's given you is crazy. Sometimes people call these things spiritual gifts. I believe in spiritual gifts, but I think spiritual gifts is most commonly understood as things like the Bible talks about, like prophecy or healing or interpretation of tongues or some such things. I believe in all those things. That's not what I'm talking about right now, though. I'm talking about aptitude abilities that enable you to have a relationship, aptitude abilities that enable you to hold a job, aptitude abilities that enable you to create a better future for yourself, aptitude abilities that enable you to raise the water level of everybody in your life, everybody in your family, everybody in your city. I'm talking about aptitudes and abilities that go beyond what anybody would have expected you to do in your life if they saw you when you were 5. In the book of Exodus, chapter 35, we see how God gives somebody an ability. It's just one of many examples. Here's what it says. See, by the way, this is the context of this. This is happening when the people of God are worshiping. They're worshiping in a tabernacle. It's a traveling thing where they worship God. They're kind of going all over the place, and they only have one site, and it's a tent. They don't have multiple sites. All they have one site, and they pack it up, and they pick it up, and they keep marching, and they stop and they unpack it, and they, you know, and all kind of great, beautiful engravings and stuff are in there. And here's how God makes sure this happens. See, the Lord is called by name Bezalel and filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze and cutting stones for setting and in carving wood for every work in every skilled craft. So this is a guy who has an ability to be a great blue-collar worker, to be a great artisan in the midst of the trades. You have to understand, there's some things that even if you had a chance to do it, you wouldn't do it really well. You can't be anything you want to be. If we all, every last one of us, if all of us had the same art class, and we went to art school, we had the same art class, some of us would be able to create a painting that looked great. Others of us with the same level of education, the same level of coaching, would like, eh. If all of us went to vocational tech, all of us for the same amount of time, I've seen this happen, all of us did, some of us would be able to drop a bead on, from the welder, and it'd be beautiful. Others of us would just never get it. If all of us had the same education, if all of us had MBAs from Harvard, some of us could run a Fortune 100 company. Others of us simply could not. You cannot be whoever you think you can be. And the longer you think that, the more you're going to frustrate your life by banging your head in the wall, making the same mistakes and doing the same things over and over, when that's not who you have been created to be. That's not an ability that God has given you. And the longer you try to muscle yourself up, you might be improved to a level, and then you might get somewhat proficient, but you'll never be great. You'll never, like, instinctively do this thing, whatever that ability is, that just produces results. Part of your identity is the things that God has enabled you to do. Now, in the book of Genesis, that section I read, we see is there's three, if you will, call abilities that we're going to come back to over and over again over the next few weeks. Three abilities. You might have all of these to one degree or another. I do believe that the more you mature, the more proficient you'll become in all three of these. But one of these is your dominant ability. One of these kind of is the grass catcher for all this stuff. And the more you understand this as part of your identity, the more powerful your life is going to be. We see Adam and Eve, those three things that they were doing. Number one, they were ruling. They were ruling. The Bible says there, God tells them, I give you dominion. I give you dominion to rule over the birds and the fish of the earth. To give you dominion to rule over. Now, we have done some really awful things to our environment. And some people have done some really awful things to the Bible by interpreting it. That what this means is you can do whatever you want to the environment. It doesn't matter because you're there to rule over it, and whatever you want to do to it, do to it. So let's just go and let's clear cut all the forests, and let's just go and drag net miles and miles and miles in the ocean and just scrape everything off the floor and fish things out so much that kids go to school and have mystery fish. Can't even identify what exactly fish it is. It's all ground up together. I mean, There's awful things that we've done to our environment. Here's the thing. While we can bemoan that you and me, men and women, have done that, the lions and the whales didn't do that, here's the other thing. The lions and the whales will never do anything to manage the environment. They'll never do anything to recreate something in the environment. Human beings are the ones that can look at carbon emissions, can look at this. That's because you and I have the ability to rule. And this isn't just an environmental thing. This is a bunch of things. This is having all the balls drop in a very complicated process. That's what somebody who can rule does. He sees all these different things, and he brings peace, or she brings justice, or brings order, or brings management systems, or brings process that enables an organization or a community or a family to thrive and to make sense. This is great if you're, this is where police officers are often here. They're ruling, or engineers, or scientists, or contractors, or programmers, because there's all kinds of things that have got to drop at the same time. Or there's others who are increase. God says, be fruitful and multiply. There's some who just, man, anything you give them, they just increase it. These kind of people, like, They poop money. Seriously, they come out of the bathroom like, how did you get that money? Where did that come from? I don't know. I just increased it. I don't know. There's some people who just, don't you know people like this? Maybe you're one of them, right? That money's never been an issue because you just have the ability to increase it. Or you have the ability to increase sales or whatever it is. There's something that happens that whatever is given you, wherever you're around, you have the ability to understand, hey, if we do this here or this and that, then I think this is going to go up to the right or this is going to happen. And it does over and over again. This is great If you're an entrepreneur, if you're a marketer, if you're a salesperson, if you're a farmer, if you're a rancher, if you're an investment advisor, if you're a banker, these people are drawn. If you're not into increase and things don't increase around you, don't get around any of those professions because you will suck at them. But the people who are great in all those professions, part of their identity, I'm not just saying part of what they're good, I'm saying part of their identity, part of their name is increase. It's not just I'm a child of God. That's my main identity. That's where it starts. I'm an adopted son of God. That is my identity. And then what does that mean? That means that he's calling me and equipping me to do things inside the family, which is, I'm in the third one. The third one is create. Create. Some of us just create things. This could be you're an artist, you're an architect, you're a filmmaker, you're a baker, you're a performer, you're in hospitality, you're an entrepreneur. You just take ideas and you're a developer and you create things. You're able to call things out and bring things into being that other people haven't thought about or haven't envisioned. This is one of the big learnings I've had this last year. When I talked about we keep unpeeling this. This is a huge thing I've had of this with God, because I've been frustrated many times around crossroads because there's so many things that are going and have to be sustained, and realize, gosh, I've kind of created a lot of those things. What am I all frustrated for? Like, created. In fact, if I look at my history, like I create a lot of things. Like, built my own garage with my own hands, my own deck with my own hands, my last house, I did the whole thing myself. I've done bathrooms. I'm excited about the building process here at Crossroads, whether it's AIDS hospice in South Africa, Homes for Girls Rescue out of child prostitution, sex slavery in India, whether it's CityLink. And even the most recent thing, it's not just ministry thing, it's anything. Like my motorcycle that I ride, somewhat aggressively, and the specific model I'm riding, it's been known now that like the manufacturer's not taking responsibility for it, but where the fork stanchions, the tubes come up and then it relates bolts to the tree, which is where your handlebars are. Those tubes come up and there's a cap on top of those that goes up into the tree. That cap has been known to pop loose in extreme riding. That cap pops loose, your bike goes down. You go boom, boom, you go die, die. Or at least you go broken arm. You can see that's it right there. So I'm thinking about that, and I'm reading blogs on the communities I'm part of online, and people are like this, and then I was like, well, I can build something to figure that out. So I talked to a friend of mine who's got a little machine, not a big machining shop. He's part owner in it, and said, hey, I want to do this thing. I said, well, you need this. Then I start talking with him what to do. So I got this RTV mold, took it and squashed it around my stanchion, made it, got hard. Then I peeled it off. I took it to him and his guys, and they put it in a 3D scanner. They scanned the whole thing, and they gave me a 3D printed model, and then they gave me a prototype, and bam, problem solved. And then I share my stuff online, what I'm doing, and right now I got 30 guys who want to buy a set of them. So I got like this side business now, and there's like tens of thousands of people who have these bikes. I'm like, oh, yes, if I sell them for that, that's good. It's wonderful. Here's the problem. And I realized, that's it. I do that. I just do it over and over. I create things. I build things. Here's the problem, though. The more I spiritually mature, the more proficient I get at ruling and increasing, but I'm just not as good as those around me. So, like, Darren Yates, he's our executive pastor. He is a ruler. He understands how to have a meeting and things get together and this and that. It's one. You don't want me leading a meeting. You don't want me leading a meeting. Kathy Beecham, who oversees all of our multi-site stuff, the reason we've grown a multi-site is because Kathy was a banker, and she apparently was a good one. She increases things. She just increases over and over. So actually what I need now for my thing that I'm calling a stanch clamp, what I need for my stanch is I need Kathy and Darren to come help me out, and I'll leave this pastor gig. I won't need you guys then anymore because I have plenty of stuff to do. But when I understood I'm a builder, all of a sudden I went, okay, I need to recognize there will always be things for me to sustain because I will always be building things. Okay, it's not like for you, I couldn't take the stress of taking on like inventing something like that and going through the process of getting bids from different people. Yeah, maybe you shouldn't, but for me as a creator, as a builder, it's part of my identity, a builder, I realize like, what is going on? Oh, this can be fun for me. It's going to be a distraction for me. Appropriate distraction from cross is going to be fun because I understand my identity. I understand how God's made it for me. And this, by the way, when you understand these things, this is why people start businesses or start companies and then they get pushed out because they're creators. They're not rulers. You get to a point where you need a CEO or something else to do it. This is why, when you're a single parent, why it is so difficult. Because when you raise kids, like, you need all three of these things operating, all three of them. And when you're a single parent, man, God can provide a way, and he will provide a way through prayer, and people can come around you, and yes, 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 and it's just really nice to have two people in a family who have the likelihood of having two of these three covered in building and creating kids who are healthy. This is why pastors and churches are oftentimes very stagnant or declining, because pastors tend to rule what they can manage. So churches can be very stagnant, even large stagnant, but stagnant because he has figured out how, or she has figured out how to kind of keep all of the right people happy, how this happened, but the church isn't growing at all, isn't taking any new ground at all, because he's maybe or she's a ruler, not an increaser, not a builder or creator, and the body of Christ doesn't operate. It can't operate that way. Image enables authority. Authority! Image enables authority. When you see and understand that God has given you an identity, an ability, he has validated you. You walk into rooms, you're like, ready, I'm ready. Because I know who I am. I know my capabilities. I know that God is for me. You just operate in authority, and you don't get knocked down as much. I get probably more criticism than the average person, at least more communication of criticism than the average person. And you know what's great? Is because of my identity and validated with God and understanding my abilities, because of that stuff, I can take criticism because, you know what? I might be wrong because I'm only the image of God. I'm not God himself. I might be wrong, and that's okay because I understand my identity. Or if I am right, or even if I'm right or if I'm wrong, guess what? It doesn't hurt me because your approval of me doesn't authorize me and my identity. God authorizes my identity. He is my authority. And so when things are going wrong against me, I walk inside. That enables us to have authority. Parents, this is part of the reasons why parents are afraid to, like, exert authority. Man, your identity as a parent, you know more than your kid. You are wiser than your kid. You've seen more than your kids. You should tell your kids who they are. And our culture is so afraid to tell them who we're. That's why we have more suicidal kids, more low esteem kids than ever before, because authorities who have their identity as being image bearers and bestowers aren't doing that. Man, I tell you, you get me started on this thing, friend. I'm telling you, this is everything for you. I'm telling you, the core of your frustrations in your life is your identity. The core of the pains in your life is your identity. The core of your future is our identity. There is nothing better you can do with your life than figure out, pull another layer back of, who am I? Who does God want me to be? And you're not going to be able to binge watch this. You're not going to be able to do that. We're going to help you hear from God, and it's going to take a while. It's going to take a process. You're going to have to get in groups. You're going to have to, if you want a shot. You're going to have to do your own stuff. You're going to have to come to this environment right here. And you're going to have to wait to hear the still small voice of God. And if you do, you walk in that, whew, man, your relationship with God is going to be profound and your life is going to be potent. I'm going to invite up everybody to our sites in just a moment. We're going to give you the next steps that are critical for this. Let me pray for you first. God, thank you for giving us time to hear and listen and respond, and that's what we want, God. We want different people. We want a different life, a better life, more aligned with you at the end of our time, at the end of our 6 weeks. Thank you for this opportunity, God. Amen.
I'm incredibly excited about the journey in the next 6 weeks that we're going to go on together. If you are brand new or you've been here for 1,000 weekends, I want to give you the three critical things you need to know to get the most out of the journey. The first is the weekend. This experience we had right here, it was awesome. And we're going to do this every week for the next 6 weeks. We're pouring tons of creativity, tons of energy into creating weekend experiences where we get to connect with God and have some stimulus that we take into our week. And every week, we're going to go into our week and we're going to do individual work. And for that, we need the Crossroads Anywhere app. That's the second really important thing you need to get the most out of the journey, is you need to go to the App Store, the Google Play Store, and download the Crossroads Anywhere app. Inside there is the individual guide. This is the guide you'll use every week to help process the things that you learn. It's gonna ask you questions about yourself. You're gonna journal within the guide. You're gonna answer multiple choice questions. You're gonna find out what the entire Crossroads community thinks about particular questions. It's gonna be incredible. It's interactive and personalized. And if you happen to miss a weekend, every week, the on-demand version of the weekend is right in the app at the beginning of your individual work. So every week, we can do the weekend, and then we can process what we're learning in the individual guide. And then we go into our groups. That's the third and maybe most critical part of the journey, is that we're all doing this in a group together. We all get in a group. If you're not in a group yet, you can go to crossroads.net/imjourney. You can search, put in your zip code, find a group near you. You could start a group if you want. You could pull together your family, your friends. If you're excited this weekend about what you think God might be up to, about what you might learn over the next 6 weeks, you could pull people together who have no Crossroads experience, who have no church experience, and start a group with them if they're interested in knowing how they're wired and what their purpose is. And so we're incredibly excited about this. And in the app is the group guide. So every time you get together with your group, there's a guide that takes you through, has discussion questions for you, games that you're gonna play. It's incredibly fun. There's even a timer. So that one guy can't take forever answering the questions. It's gonna be awesome. We've thought of everything to make sure you have an awesome experience. And throughout the entire journey, we've got a bunch of special events for people from 2 years old to 100 years old to get the most out of the journey. One of those is Big. Big is an epic night for students. 6th grade through 12th grade. It's happening this weekend in the Cincinnati area. And so if you want more information about that, go to bignightforteens.com. It's an example of one of really many things we're doing all throughout the journey to help people engage, experience God, and learn more about who they are and how they're wired. So go to the weekend, download the app, and get into a group. And next week, we'll see you right here.